Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen.
Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think.
104.7 Triple M.
That's actually the best part of our show, the opener. There's so much happening in that opener room.
There is. We're getting used to it still, Dits. Yeah. It takes us a while. We're slow learners.
Having said that, what about today? Tex Walker coming in, the Crows, captain, what, just a couple of days out from the big final?
Yes, exactly right, Dits. This is, they'll be starting to get a little bit nervy because they've had a long wait and it's a big prize and people are putting a bit of pressure on them that it's time to shine and it's been a long time between premierships. So
yep.
Depends how you feel it as a player, if you get wound up in it too much or not. But we'll have Big Texan on later on.
Really interesting. You told us only a few days ago how nervous you used to get before a game. And then we had young Mitch McGovern sit here last week and he said, I never get nervous before a game. It's quite interesting how different people react, isn't it?
Yeah. He might start getting a bit more nervous as his profile grows and the responsibility on his shoulders grow and things like that. But, everyone's different. The Angel's going to join us today. We've got our very special guest we're going to announce for our One Night in September show next Wednesday
Footy,
night.
Comedy, music, we've got everything.
It's going to be huge. So we're going to announce that after 8 today as well.
We're also going to go to North Korea shortly. Chris Reason, Channel 7 reporter, is over there. I saw his report last night. It really is starting to get, it's alarming. No one knows what's going to happen next, but it could be something bad.
Well, the little bit I read about it this morning, Dits, we were saying yesterday, they're going to have to take him out or they're going to have to, do all this sort of stuff. But he can drop a missile on Tokyo very easily and where there's 10 million people or something like that. So it's not about just going and getting rid of him at the drop of a hat.
Surely he can't.
Well, don't know. You don't know what these people are made of, do you?
Anyway, Ruined Dits here this morning for Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella. It is 6:05. It's 11 degrees outside. More rain around today. Geez, it belted down yesterday, didn't it?
30 mils,
eh?
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Thanks to Southern Volkswagen. Ask them about their deal on Volkswagen Amarok, the V6 Highline. Great cars, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
What's making news, Roo?
There's a new $10 note coming out soon, Dits. We've had the new $5 note. It looks a bit crisper than the old one.
Right.
There's another new $10 note coming out in
September. And what's different about this one?
It's like the $5 note.
But it's got a 10 on it.
It's got a 10 on it.
Right, good.
So, we're just updating our little notes here in Australia at the moment. So keep an eye out for that one.
Have you ever understood the clear bit in it? That's a new security thing, is it?
Never actually tried to understand it. Have you done a little bit of research on it, have you?
Not at all. That's what I was asking you.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time focusing on why they're doing it, but I guess there'd be a logical reason for it.
So in this breaking news segment, you've led with, we've got a new $10 note, but you actually know nothing about it.
Exactly.
Well, I thought you were going to give us 5 minutes of information here about the $10 note.
I don't carry $10 notes, mate. All right.
Pineapples all bigger. Sorry about that. Sorry to waste your time.
Should have known that. Yeah. Adelaide Oval, speaking of notes and things.
Cashless.
Could be cashless in the not too distant future. Now, when they started Adelaide Oval, when it redeveloped, I think, what was that, 2014 or something around that, 14% of transactions were cashless.
Right.
88% now. That's a big change, isn't it?
88%.
So that's a big swing. And I'm one of those that have changed dramatically. I always carried cash. I hardly ever carried a card. Now I'm just about the opposite way.
I'm the same. I rarely
use cash anymore, and that is I'm as cash as anyone. That's a big swing, and it feels great, and I really enjoy it, to be honest. So I can understand how it's going to happen.
Will there be a percentage? You must. Well, I'm sure you know this with your pubs. People that come in, I don't know, are they the older ones that the percentage of people that don't have credit at all, have never had a credit card? The numbers would be pretty small, wouldn't they?
That don't have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's still a few people hanging on for what they want to do, and, you know, they think it's not secure having a Visa card, and to some degree they're probably right.
Can I tell you one thing I hate about cash that annoys me?
Yeah, of course you can. I'm not going to stop you anyway.
I go to the pub, and I say to the girl, you know, or the young lad, a Diet Coke, please. She comes back, and then I get...
Is that on your forehead? Or?
No. And then she goes, $4.20, thanks. I go, what have you just been pressing for the last 30 seconds? Like, isn't it just Diet Coke, $4.20? What goes on?
Oh, that's going to take a while to explain to you, but every single thing you buy in a pub is itemised on the till for stock take reasons.
I get that. What is she pressing that takes so long to go...
White wine.
No, I want a Diet Coke. One drink.
Diet Coke would be the pretty straightforward one. That shouldn't be too big, but it'd be probably three or four buttons to get to that.
Can you run me through that, please?
Well, it'd be soft drinks. It'd be Diet Coke. It'd be should be bottle.
Yeah.
And then what size? Or it should be pint or a schooner.
Right.
Or jug.
Okay.
And then how much? And then change. And then
God.
Does he owe any money from his last account from the other day? No, he's okay. Kate paid it. All good.
No, but it is frustrating. As the customer, I can't believe how long it takes for them to get to arrive at that decision.
But the upside to it, Dits, is that back, so let's say probably 40 years ago, when you're a boy and you used to work in your mum and dad's shop and you used to not put things in the till and your mum couldn't work out who was knocking off chocolate bars.
Yeah.
She would know that if you'd punched the till properly.
Right.
Because the stock would have been done properly.
And by the time she'd punched all of that in to give me a chocolate bar, the queue outside the door, be around the corner and up the road. Let's go to Bruce at Glandor. He's given us a call about the $10
thanks,
note.
Bruce. Hey,
good morning, Bruce.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. What can you tell us?
What I reckon, I've heard that the new $10 and $5 note have got Braille on it now for the blind.
Okay, that's good.
That'll come in handy for you, Diz.
So when you're staggering home from a taxi, you need to find the right money just to make sure you got the correct one.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right.
That's there good. You
go. Other countries have had Braille on their money for many, many years. We're a bit behind there.
Okay, and Simon Robinson's just tweeted in the funny thing, is Dits ordering a Diet Coke ball dust.
It was an example.
It was an exaggeration. That's what it was. Right. Hey, what's happening with the royal family with your little rallies?
Yeah, another baby on the way.
Congratulations.
Thanks. No, don't mention it.
Uncle Dits.
Thank you. This is Prince William, and I reckon Harry was more mine.
Yeah,
not
you
Prince
look.
William,
I think Harry more
than yours. Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Because you did kiss Lady Di.
I did.
You're not going to tell us a story from the 20th year anniversary, are you? My wife doesn't believe that you kissed Lady Di. I told her that.
How can I prove it?
What?
How can I prove it?
Yeah, you can't, can you? It's just up to you now, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah. But
how did it happen?
No. Now listen, I have no interest in the royal family whatsoever. But
except for Lady Di.
Don't you reckon William and Kate are probably the most popular that we've had, certainly in my lifetime?
Oh, what about Harry?
Oh, he's a good lad. But I just think these two are really popular and we've warmed to them. Wouldn't you say, or not?
I think probably warmed to Kate a little bit more.
Mel, the button pusher, please weigh in here. I know you would have no interest in the royal family at all, would you? But do you think we like these two more than we've liked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are pretty likable. And they try to do good work, don't they?
I think so.
I think Harry's a good lad.
He's fun.
He? Yeah. Jack the lad.
I reckon he's a good fella.
All right, that's what's making news around the place. And that segment on the $10 note, Roo. I can't believe we don't get an
put that
nomination.
In the ACRA nomination.
Gee whiz. In a moment, we'll head to North Korea and find out what's happening over there.
I should have known about my Braille.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Well, Roo, let's go down to the brand new RAH. Yesterday, we went to the old RAH. Because Smitho was watching everyone leave. Mm. Now he's watching them all check in down at the new one. Mike Smithson from Channel 7, good morning.
Yes, a very good morning, boys. It's all happening down here at the emergency department. We've just seen the big wraps come off it. It's been taped up and plastic around it for the last God knows how long, but it's not there now because the emergency department here opens in about 20 minutes time and people are waiting around just hoping someone turns up.
Hopefully they're not too bad.
Hey, we put it to use. We're paying $1 million a day. Well, we need it.
the organisers here are saying, well, we can't promise anyone. We said, well, we know that, but knowing the way emergency departments operate. Right. So if anyone's not feeling well, can you leave it
come
about
down
another quarter of an hour and come down to the new NRUC because we're really desperate to see the first patient come in here.
What about if you try the new coffee down there or anything like that? Can you report on the canteen?
Well, I can report on the media centre had taxpayer-funded sandwiches and cakes and coffee, so that was very nice. But there are plenty of eating places around here. I went for a bit of a explore yesterday, and the cafeterias, I wouldn't say it's the world's cheapest food, mind you, but there's plenty of it.
Well, you've got to pay for the bloody thing. Gee whiz, you're eating a pretty expensive building.
But it's those things that... unexpected. There was a police van still here with lights and sirens and the whole works. It was a police escort to bring down equipment that, as the emergency department closes at the old RAH, and that'll be closed at 6:59, so what's that? Not far off at all, less than a quarter of an hour. And they're having to bring those day-to-day things that you'd have at home, they need to bring them from there to here. So they're arriving at the moment. There's a relocation truck with gear being taken out and put into the new emergency department. Staff inside the new emergency, obviously just standing around waiting for someone to turn up. So I'm sure it won't be long, and I hope that it's someone who's not too badly injured, but that's what emergency departments are all about.
Smitho, have they got the signs up everywhere? Because
yes.
Ditz was really worried about a week or two ago that, you know, he just couldn't work out where to drive.
Signs, exit signs, emergency, there was nothing.
Well, you come in through the main gates and you turn right. That's about all I can tell you. If you can find a park, that is. There are plenty here at the moment, but they will soon fill up. But when you see the big red emergency sign with a cross on top, it stands out as a beacon in front of the emergency department. So you just head there. But for all the listeners, don't go to the old RAH after 7 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Because it'll be closed, fenced up, and redirection down here. So it's a much nicer emergency department here as well.
Beautiful. Now, Smitho, we've got a question for you. Have you seen that vehicle that, I reckon I saw it on your news last night, the big ambulance bus? Have you seen that? What do they use a bus for as an ambulance?
Well, it can fit four or six stretcher patients in it. So if they go to a scene where there are multiple injuries, clearly they can load them on. I'm not sure if it's got intensive care inside it as well, but it's just for mass transport of people. So it's almost brand new, but it's seen as something that's just a little more economical and a little more, I guess, highly advanced for if you're at a crowd where something goes wrong, you take the bus and it can fit multiple stretchers in it.
Okay. All right. Good on you, Smitho. Thanks for that report down there today, Roo. All happening. They're shifting into the new RAH. They're waiting for their first emergency
opening.
Yeah, they are. Smitho, go back and have those egg and cress
sandwiches. Have a bit of cake,
a little bit of sponge cake, and enjoy your day down there.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast. On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers...
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, welcome, Tex. Good morning.
Morning, Ditz, Roo.
How are you, big fella? You ready to go?
Very excited. Very, very excited.
Tex, when you come into finals, there are two schools of thoughts. There are those people that say, don't change anything. Just carry on as normal. It's another game of footy. And then there are those over the years that I've heard say, no, it's finals now. Now we step up a gear. It's different. What's your school of thought?
Oh, there's things that you probably won't change, like your preparation and things like that, but you've probably got no control over the game, how it will step up in intensity, and we're looking to probably step it up. We want to do it first, and hopefully on Thursday night, GWS will ask them a question whether they want to come with us, and hopefully they say no. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep going.
Wow. Well, that's the decision they've got to make. The start of the finals is hot, so you can't play too much high possession footy. You just got to, like the old wet weather footy, and it's going to be wet probably, so it's going to make the decision for you, which is good in a way. You just got to get the ball and get it on your boot and play old-fashioned hard footy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if you look at the probably the last 4 or 5 weeks for us compared to last year, we've had great preparation, played some really strong teams and teams that we've probably will come up against in the finals. So we're in a great spot to be able to put our best foot forward and hopefully play some really consistent footy.
Everyone wants to know how Sloaney's going. He was on the bike.
Let's give him a ring.
We'll give him a ring in the break. We'll try and get him up next. But yesterday he was on the bike down at the club. That was all over the news. And but has he done any jogging or anything yet, Tex?
He's done some physical activity. The problem is with such an internal disaster or injury for him, you can't visually see it. So I'm probably stating the obvious here, Dits. But
we won't pick up on it.
Like if he gets... If the surgeon says, yeah, you're fine to go, he'll play. But if there's any doubt, then we won't risk him because you can get hernia and then obviously that'll cause further issues, not only right now, but
down the track.
So
yeah, we don't want to risk him, that's for sure. You can get it done without him.
We'll get it done without him.
Ooh, yeah, Greenwood could come in and he's fresh.
He's fresh, ready to go, Huey. Yep. He's been outstanding for us. Yeah, anyway.
Need to ask you a real sad question. We spoke to Don Pike yesterday, but what have you been able to sort of say to Source Jacobs in these trying times? What a just sad thing to happen.
Oh, very sad for him, his old man, his mum, and just family all together. But
is there any other siblings, or is there just two boys?
Just him and his brother. Yeah, 31 years old, and just sadly passed away. It's what our club hasn't been through.
Exactly.
I don't know, but...
But Source is the nicest person you could ever meet.
He still puffed his chest out. Like, that's the beauty of being at a footy club. You can come and put everything aside and put a smile on your face, and I just wanted to give him a big hug. Like, what do you say? I don't really know what to say.
I feel so sorry for him, and I just really, really like him so much. He's the best bloke.
Will the whole team go to the funeral on Friday, Tex? Have you spoken about that
yet? Probably not the whole team, because we've got our reserves are playing GWS's reserve. Reserve side, so not the whole team, but we'll get...
Whoever can go.
We'll get a few guys up there to support the big fella and his family.
So what's that game about?
Just to keep going.
Keep having a go?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, where's that going to be?
Good question.
Amy, isn't it?
Is it Amy, is it? I'm being told where we're going to hold it.
Because the Crows' SNFL side got knocked out. It's...
All right. More with Tex in just a moment, including the infamous dad joke that he rocks us with every week.
Can you give me a little bit this week?
Tex Walker, our special guest. Mate, we'll make it funny. That's all you got to do. Try that for a change.
Ruined Tits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Just a reminder too, Tex, so you know your game is sold out. And tomorrow,
sold out
everyone...
In
an hour. All right. Yeah, you got the whole state behind you. Tomorrow, Roo, right here, everyone that rings up between 6 a.m., 6 p.m., when I say rings up, it has to be for a reason. When we call people to ring, we've got doubles for every person to go to the footy.
Yep, Crows or Port for that matter.
How does that work? Oh, if it's sold out tomorrow night, well, you're still going to give tickets
away. We've got contacts.
We bought a heap of them. We unleashed a heap of cash from the safe here and just went and bought a heap of tickets because we knew that everyone would want to go. And some people can't afford them. They've got the Adelaide show on at the moment and can't afford to do everything with their kids. So we're going to give away a heap of tickets tomorrow, Tex.
You'd be going the show, wouldn't you, Dits? A bit of fairy floss or
not
popcorn?
As a matter of fact.
No. He's one of those clowns that you put the table tennis ball in their mouth. He just does a bit of that stuff during the week.
I actually tuned in yesterday on the way to training.
Yeah.
The tight ass.
Oh,
I love that segment. I've actually got a mate that, you know, you go out, there's five of you and... $16 each, but you chuck in 20. Don't worry about the change. But you've always got that one bloke that, how much is it? He's the one that pays last and ends up being $10.
So he doesn't have to put the full 16 in.
Yeah.
Because you're a bit over.
But then he'll buy the next drink at the next venue, so he says, but then goes home.
You get there and a half hour's gone, hour's gone. Where is he?
I thought I'd go home.
Yeah, they think they're getting away with it, don't they? But we all know.
We all know.
Righto, Tex, good luck Thursday night. big, big stage.
Yeah.
You like Thursday nights?
Yeah, I enjoy them.
Yep.
Probably not so much for our the supporters with families.
But you filled the joint. You filled it.
Mm. Yeah. All our
tougher country people.
Yeah.
I've said it since I've been at this club. Our fans are loyal and passionate, so they'll rock up.
And then if you win, when you win, long time till your next game as well. That's probably the only other disadvantage, isn't it?
Oh, it depends which way you look at it. Can be an advantage, disadvantage.
Be a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have if we win.
All right. So I've got a funny feeling that the success of his dad joke is going to be comparable to the success of football on this Thursday night.
Oh, gee, that's putting pressure on. That's putting unnecessary pressure on.
Who are your tips for the out of the four games this weekend?
You'll win.
Yep.
Geelong and Richmond Friday night. Could be wet and windy over there, they're saying.
I'm going to go Geelong.
Are you going to go Geelong? Mm. Bit too tough in the wet. What about Sydney, Essendon?
Sydney.
Geez, I hope Essendon win that.
Why?
Get rid of the Swans.
Get rid of them.
Yeah. And then
Port Adelaide.
And then Port, just rock up and get the job done.
Four winners right there. What do you think, Tex?
I'm going to go against you on a couple.
Are you? Who are you picking?
Richmond.
Yeah. No, well, we wouldn't be surprised there. Mm. No.
And I reckon Bombers might go up there and beat Swans.
Do you?
Oh, I watched them play them up there last time, and it was pretty much the last 10, 15 seconds of Swan. But that
it didn't kick straight.
The other thing too about Sydney, can you stay up for that long?
Yep.
Gee, they've been up a long, long time, haven't they?
Yeah, good player, good team. Tough final side. You laughing at your own jokes before you say it?
I think he is. He's not even listening to anything.
Remember, if you stuff this up, you'll probably lose Thursday.
Just a thought.
Righto.
What are you talking about, Emmy working?
Leave us with your joke, Tex.
Oh, we had the weekend off, so we had a fancy dress party. So I dressed up as a loaf of bread. Mm. The birds were all over me, Dits.
Yes, we won. We're going to win, Tex.
Very good.
We're going to win. Yeah.
Oh, look at them high
five. 5-10 goal win. The Crows have won without Sloan.
Get your crochet rugs out. It's going to be cold on Thursday night. Tex, join us. Thanks to Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Good luck, Tex.
Thanks, Ditch.
Good luck.
Good
thanks,
luck, Ditch. Mate.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Okay, can we give away $1,000? It's been a few days, Roo, since we have.
All right. Well,
you've made the topics pretty hard.
I'm going to make today's easy. Right. Let's go to Parafield. G'day, Mel.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very, very well. What are you up to today?
I have done a bit of gym, I've done my house cleaning, and then I've got to get my four kids up, and then I've got to go to work.
What time did you get up this morning, Mel?
Oh, you really, 2:45. I get up at 2:45 every morning.
Oh, Mel, you do not.
2:45, what time do you go to bed?
I'll claim about 8 o'clock, but I'm probably asleep by 7, mate.
So 7 o'clock? This is a record. Yeah. I know people do shift work, but it sounds like you're obviously, what time do you start work?
Some mornings 3:30.
Oh, do you? So,
yeah.
What do you do?
I work in an industrial snack bar. So some mornings I start early, two mornings a week I get to stay home and clean my house. So,
Good on you.
Yeah.
Well, you're a worker, there's no doubt.
Good on you, Mel. I want to give you $1,000, but you're going to have to earn a little bit, all right? You ready to go?
Yeah.
Give me 10 subjects at high school.
Subjects at high school: math, geography, PE, English, chemistry, biology, geology, history, home ec, design and technology, physics, graphic design, geography, business studies, IT. I got four in high school. Business.
She's up to about $3,000. Let's go to the adjudicator.
I don't know.
One, two, three, four, five, six. 7, 8, 9.
Come on.
10. Oh, have a sleep in. Have a sleep in.
Thank you.
Now we've got a very special guest here that wants to say congratulations.
Congratulations, Mel. It's Tex.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
It was Tex's idea because he only went about three subjects. So we thought it was a tough one.
He
had PE, woodwork, metalwork. Then he was out.
Then I had free afternoon.
Thank you.
Good on you, Mel. Right, well done.
Keep going. Get those kids up. Give them breakfast.
Made my day.
Wipe their bums. Give them a dry. Give them a shower. Keep going.
How busy's Mel's life?
Makes me feel good.
Gee whiz. That's brilliant.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shanchantra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Triple M. Lamru, let's go straight to North Korea. Saw Chris Reason on Channel 7 News last night. He is in Seoul in South Korea, and he joins us. Chris, good morning. Can I ask you just how concerned, how worried and nervous are the South Koreans?
You know, it's exactly the question I asked myself when I walked in here yesterday, started talking to people. Good morning to you guys. You'd be surprised. They've been living with this threat now since basically the end of the Korean War, which is 1953. It's in their DNA, this state of readiness, worried about what's going to happen, what the North are going to potentially one day do or not do. And so for them, it's just part of their everyday life. Now, we've seen the last few months, guys, I mean, the pressure, the tension has ratcheted up enormously. And yet here, when you look in the faces of the people walking around the streets, they take it in their stride. They just get on with life. They get on with what they do. They don't ignore it. They still do annual rehearsals each year. There's every five blocks is an air raid shelter, a bomb shelter. You know, like they take it seriously, but they don't let it affect their lives. It's fascinating to watch.
But do they actually think something could happen here? Do they think this is building towards a moment in history, perhaps?
I think they do, and I think they know that right now the stakes are higher than they've ever been. And to test that this dictator hermit kingdom, Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, conducted on Sunday is a massive, a quantum leap on where he was before with his nuclear testing program. He was, he perfected atom bombs. Now he's moved into the hydrogen bomb sphere, far more powerful, far more potent. And we're talking about this missile program at the same time. He has this hydrogen bomb, he can throw it further. So his ICBMs, his intercontinental ballistic missiles, can take that bomb not just from a regional conflict level, so not just here to South Korea, but onwards to Japan, to Guam, the US territory, as far as the west coast of America, and even as far as Australia. We're talking the northern tip, Darwin, etc. So it is very much a problem for all of us to be concerned about.
I heard you say last night Seoul is a city of 10 million people, which surprised me. I didn't realise there were that many people. It was that heavily populated. What's the how many kilometres from Pyongyang to Seoul?
From Pyongyang to Seoul, you've caught me, I think it's almost 200 kilometres apart.
So it's not at all.
No, not that far. No. And, well, even less than the one we're all worried about is the distance from here in Seoul up to the border, the Northern Korean border, the DMZ, the demilitarised zone, is only 40 kilometres. And they've calculated the flight time that it would take a rocket or a missile, and they're bristling all the way along the border, aimed at Seoul, aimed at South Korea. It would take 45 seconds for a rocket to launch and then land on this population of 10 million city. That's why this is such a difficult scenario right now. And this is why the world's kind of on edge, guys, because, you know, everyone keeps saying, come on, Donald Trump. You can see that Trump is bristling to grab the trigger, push the trigger finger, launch something, attack North Korea, get it back under control. He can't do it. He can't do it because the North Koreans have got these thousands of rockets and missiles aimed at Seoul. Mm-hmm. One glove laid on North Korea, they can take out Seoul within hours. They can cause massive carnage.
Everyone all over the world's got their everything ready to shoot, though, obviously, haven't they? Because they have to make decisions in seconds and minutes, don't they?
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. And that's why the thing's at such a tinderbox level, because, you know, and this is why everyone's panicking now, because Everyone ratchets up the, you know, the military and the munitions yesterday in response to the Sunday nuclear test. You should have seen what the South Koreans did. They rolled out their jets and their missile launchers, and it was just an extraordinary show of firepower. They did it all for the TV cameras. They put the pictures out instantly around the world. And you could see these. They were launching air-to-surface missiles from their jets. They were launching rockets from their mobile rocket launchers. Massive show of firepower, sort of, you know, flexing their muscles, saying, well, you can do that. Take a look at this. And because they're, you know, ratcheting up this, the tensions, everything's on edge, moving in more warplanes, more munitions. Donald Trump and the South Korean president agreed yesterday to try and send more aircraft carriers in, more jet planes, more bombers into South Korea. And because everything's here, you know, it's what everyone worries about is one mistake, one move the wrong way, and the whole shooting match starts. And once it starts, they're saying it is going to be almost impossible to stop. And we could see the Korean War II begin very quickly. And as I say, it won't just be contained to this peninsula, because North Korea now can have a go at just about everything around it. So it's extremely high stakes right now, and trying to work it all back from the edge, really difficult stuff. They had a meeting at the UN yesterday, another talk fest, but, you know, trying to put more economic sanctions on North Korea, try and strangle it a bit harder, try and make it come to its senses. But it's not looking good.
Rezo, the pay's not good enough. Get out of there. Get out of South Korea.
I've got my exit strategy ready to go. Don't worry.
Right, good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us again.
Take care. All right, take care.
Channel 7's Chris Reason. You'll see his report tonight. Roo, I'd be as nervous as hell there. And as we've just covered, you can't do anything. If you go in and be aggressive, then they just fire rockets at someone. Or
that's why he's confident, isn't he?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
Maybe he's not so dumb.
I hope someone doesn't push the wrong button at the moment, because that'll start. Anything could happen, couldn't it?
Roo, ring now for pressure test. $1,000 to be won, and then Tex Walker to join us ahead of this week's final.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
Alice the Wag, Batesy, our new recruit, and Yummy Mummy, married to Mr. South Australia, the package. How are you all this morning?
Good, thanks.
Fair title
thanks.
You've got now, Ange, isn't it?
No, geez.
Yeah, he's Mr. South Australia.
He's all right. He's doing all right.
Does he keep buffed in winter? Or?
Yeah. He goes to the gym, I don't know, 4 days a week, I think. And at night, he started cycling. I'm like, oh, God.
Cycling? What, out riding on the road?
No, nah, just like on the bike at home.
Is he going for a couple of hours?
Exercise bike. No.
You might want to follow him.
He's just downstairs.
Kate got a bit confused when Dits was going for a ride for 2 hours and was getting fatter.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Right, now, new study from Macquarie University, they would know, that if you girls spend 30 minutes or more on Instagram, self-objectivity becomes a problem. You start to get more self-conscious, worrying about how you look, and all of that sort of jazz. How often are you spending on Instagram, Alice?
A lot more than 30 minutes, let me tell you.
A day?
Yeah, definitely.
What's there to look at?
Just like photos of hot girls, really. But it does, it totally
Isn't
affects
that a
the way.
I wonder why you've got an image, you know, a confidence problem, yet you know you're doing it. So why don't you change?
And the girls are filtering the photos as well, so they look the skinnier. There's these apps where you can cinch your waist in and make your skin flawless. And so you just look at it and go, oh, God. But it does, if I'm lying on the couch and it comes up.
Lying on the couch.
You want to go to the gym.
Right.
But it's more also that they give this fake perception of their life. There's all these, like, hot bloggers and, you know, they'll wake up and have a kale smoothie for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And it's just not realistic. Like, on Saturday, I woke up
what
and
ordered, why are you doing it then? Why are you
listening
spending
to yourself?
Exactly.
I know. I don't know. I just, like...
You know you don't know.
You just make yourself feel bad, but it's also a bit inspirational to to make you get
We're
off
going around
couch.
In circles here. Let's go to
you,
work.
How's
Let's
it inspired you, by the way? Because you told me on the weekend you got Uber Eats on the... what was it, Dits? You got Uber Eats about 3 times in one day.
Chips and pizza, I think
Chips
it was.
Chips and pizza.
Do you know when he was coming to the door, I yelled out, Joel, the Uber Eats is here, but even though it's just me.
To make it.
Yeah.
So you didn't look bad in front of the Uber Eats delivery man.
That is so
Oh, that is unbelievable. That might be your best ever.
Oh, the world you
You're
live.
You're acting to yourself.
Did a deep voice answer. Okay, thanks, Alice.
You're that worried about your
Joel?
Image. You've got to
Yes,
act.
Alice.
Who's reaches it?
Okay, Alice.
Oh my God. Right, shut up for 5 minutes.
Right, Batesy, Instagram.
Yes, well, I also look at Instagram for a lot more than 30 minutes a day.
Where do you get time to look at a site for 30 minutes a day, you girls?
I know. I have to admit.
Is this at work?
No, not at work. I'd never do that at work.
There's a manager sitting right next to me.
Between 9 and 5, it's strictly business. Mm. But after that, I've noticed since I'm living with someone, I've been made more aware of my addiction to the point where I have to go to bed and scroll through Instagram for a minimum of 15 minutes or I get nervous, like, because of the Instagram stories. And I stopped following the hot bodies and started following the bloggers, and I think it's become worse because they have their smoothies and their acai bowls and all of their healthy foods, and then I'm just like, turn the phone off. I'm just look at Peter. I'm like, I've got to go on a diet. We had potato for dinner.
Pete, who's been away defending our country in Iraq, putting his body on the line, his life on the line, when he comes home, you're on your phone, in bed.
Yeah, and if he wants to start another show at about 9:10, I'm like, I've got to go to bed because I've got to look at Instagram for 20 minutes.
Do you seriously think you've got an addiction?
I have a problem, and I know I have a problem because I get sketchy that if we watch another episode, I won't have time to fully enjoy Instagram before bed.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry, why is it so enjoyable though?
I don't know, like you just get addicted to looking at the girls, and they're so like, they're always walking and they're always like in, like.
Well, I think we're going to have
to. It's always sunny there. How does that happen?
It's always
they're walking.
No, and they're always active, and they've always got their like healthy like smoothies, and I just
all
like.
Twisted in
and then
head.
I bought a Nutribullet because of this. And it's like I have to get up at 6 a.m. to get the Nutribullet in time to get to work. Like, it's just
you realize they're getting paid for that, don't you?
I know.
It's like advertising.
I'm a sucker.
He's the voice of reason, Ange.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know about Instagram, but I have to compete with Mr. South Australia. So have motivation of my husband to get my ass to the gym and not eat rubbish. No, but I do, I do like Instagram. I just think it's just interesting, but I don't have a lot. I wouldn't spend half an hour a day on it. I don't have enough time.
You're
but
not addicted.
I do find it, if I see and follow some of these fitness bloggers and health people, I just find it more motivating and think, oh my God, that body's amazing. That's what I want to look like. So sometimes I look through and go, because I know when I met Rob years ago, because he was my personal trainer, he always said, like, find a picture of an image of something you want to look like. Like, what do you want to attain yourself. And at the time I should have, take photos of myself as I was, for example, in a bikini. And then that was your measurement, if you wanted to work towards that.
Right.
So sometimes, I would look and go, I like her abs or her arms or, that's the picture I want to look like. So.
Righto. All right. Next topic, Ru.
Yeah. Is it still acceptable these days, or is it a necessity, or do you like whatever way you want to think about this topic for a bloke to go and ask the father-in-law-to-be for permission to marry his daughter. Does that make sense?
Yep. Is that some ladies are now saying that it's just sexist? Like, why? Surely.
Does he own them?
Correct. It's like an ownership sort
of
situation.
Did you do that, Dits?
No, I didn't. But my father-in-law said to me.
That's disrespectful.
No, it's not. It's respecting Kate, actually.
Oh, I don't reckon.
Kate, what? So Kate, at her age and intelligence and equality, she's not able to answer for herself that, yes, I want to marry you.
Surely you were brought up by your parents that you had to go and do that, weren't you, or not?
I did first time. You can only do it so many times. No, but...
And what did you get as father-in-law?
Kate's father said to me, and he didn't say it angrily, he said at the wedding in his speech, he said, this is the only one, because she's got sisters, the only one that didn't actually come to me and ask
for
my daughter's hand. Oh, it might be, I suppose. I don't know. But surely that we don't have to do that anymore.
I think it's a good sign.
Alice, would you like Joel to, just for tradition's sake, or?
Definitely. I think it's beautiful. Like, I'm my daddy's girl. I'm his only daughter. And as much as Dad loves Joel, he would definitely want, someone to ask. Because if I was dating someone my dad didn't like, I don't think I could marry them.
No, but you'd know that. You'd know that.
If you got really in deep and Dad was the one that had to stop it? You know, it's always good to have that there.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't talk to your dad. Surely, if you're going that far to get to the marriage stage.
But I still just love it as a tradition. Like, they go off, have a beer together.
Mm.
You know, Dad asks how Joel is before he asks me. So I think he'd be very happy.
All right, Batesy.
I agree. I don't think it needs to happen. I don't think it's a rule. And if
someone didn't ask my dad, I don't think I'd be upset, but I'd like them to do that because I think it's nice. I think it's a good tradition.
Right. Okay. Yep. Ange?
I agree too. It's not a necessity, but I think it's really sweet and quite nice. But at the same time, you know, the female was entitled to make her own decisions, yes or no. But it is quite nice, I think, from a tradition point of view.
All right. It's quite sweet. Three in favour. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. You should have done it.
You should have done it.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Angel. Next time. Next time.
Next time.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, all of us argue from time to time with the other half.
Oh, I argue with everyone.
And how often do you come out of it afterwards and think, what were we arguing about? How stupid.
Well, you would do that a fair bit because you always have to win.
I don't.
You do. You don't like losing when you have an argument.
We'll have a listen to you now.
What do you mean?
You have to win this one. I'm just saying that. No, but don't you think, though, often we just argue clearly because we're just, it's the wrong time,
we're
in a bad mood, or you've got to, you know, been at work all day, something snaps, and you're arguing about the most minute, stupid little thing. Rather than arguing about something worthwhile, something big.
Sometimes you have an argument for other reasons, don't you? It's not really about what you're discussing It's
outside pressures.
Just gets to you.
But I overheard you the other day.
I'm not surrendering here, don't you? That's what you think.
You do. I overheard you the other day. What happened at your place?
No. Well, we've just moved house, so it has been a full-on month, and our in-laws have moved in with us as well, which a lot of people go, oh, geez, you're bloody risky doing that. Mm. And everyone asks, how are you going, and how's it working, and all that. Well, we did have our first little blue the other day, but it was nothing much. We actually had an argument over carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd had a little flood at our old house, and my wife had put an insurance claim, and we got that back, and apparently we had to spend it. And I said, well, don't spend it. Let's spend it. Let's get it to another invoice and do it another way where we can save some money. My wife didn't understand what I was talking about. Then the father-in-law jumped in at his daughter's, defense. I didn't like that, so then it was 2-1, so I had to get a bit more aggressive.
You didn't give him the old, it's my house, you can move out if you want.
Wasn't far off that. so this is not working.
What, you've been there a day?
No, that's right. But anyway, we'd had a fairly lengthy, heated, slightly raised discussion at just before tea over some mouldy carpet, which hadn't cost us stuff. Or anyway, in the end, we sort of all realised what we were doing and thought, you know, we probably don't need to keep going here, but sometimes you just don't want to lose.
What do you like afterwards? Do you come around pretty quickly?
Oh, it depends what mood I'm in. It can be all over Red Rover until the morning. Then I like to fix things up.
So how are you and the father-in-law?
No, great. Yeah, good. Yep. No, we're good.
All right.
He's a train driver, old train driver. He's easy to get along with, old Mick.
Mel, the button pusher, what have you argued about that's stupid?
Everything.
Yep, everything. I do.
No, you don't.
I have to be right. I'm pretty list-oriented and organised. So one time we went camping, so it was our family and all of Danny's brothers and sisters.
Mm. Gee.
So that's quite a lot.
That's risky.
I think there was 20 to 30 of us all going camping.
Yeah, that's not camping.
A lot of lists there.
Yeah. So I had said, right, here's a list of everything we're packing in the car, and here it all is in one room. Everything you see there in that pile must go in the car tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're packing kids, you sort of divide duties. So I just went on faith that everything that was in that stack was going in the car. And we got too far away from the house to turn back before we realised we didn't have just a little table. That was completely non-essential. Mm. Completely non-essential, but I wanted it. And Danny, quite rightly, said, oh, well, we'll survive. We'll probably be right.
Oh, gee, shouldn't have said that, obviously.
And I...
You lost it, did you?
We need the table. I can't believe...
Oh, no.
I cannot believe you forgot the table.
Dug your heels in.
I had a list. Oh. I put it all in one place. What more do I have to do for the table to make it into the car?
How did it end up?
It ended up with us going, look, yeah, let's not worry about it. But then 5Ks later... Can't believe you forgot the table.
Oh, you keep going. That is
just
annoying.
When we thought it would rest
a little bit.
I cannot believe you forgot the table.
You just had to win, didn't you?
Yeah.
You wanted an apology.
I wanted it. I didn't get it.
No. Yeah. Well, which one story are you going to tell us?
Mine's actually not about my wife. It's about my brother. My brother and I. And it's funny.
No.
The wag was here.
Is he like you?
Little
in
bit.
In terms of
he's nicer.
Stubborn?
No, he's nicer. Marginally. But we argued one night. We must have had a few beers because we argued about whether or not Pakistan had a navy. Right?
Come again.
All the things that come
Pakistan had a navy.
I mean, we're all sitting around drinking, and I don't know. I must have thrown away a line. He went, and by the way, he's an air traffic controller. He knows geography and he knows all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. He says, Pakistan hasn't got a navy. What are you talking about? I said, yes, they have. Anyway, it went on. We were yelling at each other. Oh, about 3 hours. We went
3 hours.
And on and on. And has Pakistan got a navy? Very important to know this. I don't know how this came up. Anyway,
Cut
long story short, and in the end, I said, well, funnily enough, I've been to the Pakistan Navy Club. So if they've got a Navy Club.
Were you lying or had you really?
No, I had really, yeah.
Pakistan Navy Club.
Has Pakistan got a Navy? And I said, well, I've been to the Pakistan Navy Club. Therefore, I think they've got a Navy.
Yeah, you can't have a club without a Navy.
That's right.
Can you?
How stupid would that be? So anyway, all I'm saying is the silly things. Well, I did win the Ogre. Thank you.
You beat your brother.
It's the only one I've ever won.
You beat your older brother.
It's the only one I've ever won in my life.
You would have slept really well that night.
So the inane, stupid things that we find to argue about. Give us a call. We've got tickets to the show. I want the stupidest, most inane, pathetic topic that you've argued about and dug your heels in about, like the table, Mel.
That's a bloody beauty.
104.7 Triple M.
The stupid, pathetic, petty things that we argue about, Ruth.
Yeah, let's go to Gawler. G'day, Wesley.
How you going, mate?
Tell us your argument.
That the earth is flat and not round.
Right. Oh, who'd you have that with and at what time of the morning?
Mate, it's true.
Oh, right. Who did you have the argument with?
Oh, I'm about to have one with you now.
All right, tell me how you do it. Why is it flat? You goose.
Oh, well, it's just hard to believe that it's spinning at 1,100 kilometres an hour.
Righto. Well, I'm not qualified to argue against you, but I just think it is round. That's all I can tell you.
You're dreaming, mate. Right.
Wesley, I want you to take off from Gawler now and walk north. Just keep walking in one direction, and when you fall off the end, ring us. All right?
And no, you'll hit Antarctica.
He won't if it's flat, dude.
If it's flat, he'll fall off the edge in the end.
Off the edge.
Yeah.
Let's go to Seaford.
Oh, sorry, am I going too fast?
Don't worry about it. Let's go to Seaford Meadows. G'day, Andrew.
Hey, g'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, good. Have you had a blue?
Oh, mate, this is up there with every single man in the world.
Yeah.
Pegging up the clothes on the clothesline.
Oh, did you do it wrong?
Mate, it doesn't matter if you do it wrong because you get told how to peg them up, so you change it all, you peg them up right, and then all of a sudden, 5 days later, the clothes are still left out on the line because it's rained 3 times and the sun's come out 5 times.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's really important to make sure you peg them up right because you don't want the clothes to get washed 4 times and faded 5 times.
Actually, Roo, I've been done for this. Kate's T-shirts, I didn't peg them the right way. I copped a lecture about this one.
Where'd you peg them?
You didn't peg them
on the shoulders?
Right at the end. No, I hang them upside down. Right at the end because I hate peg marks.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Kate actually puts half the T-shirt over the line and pegs them. So you peg them halfway across.
But then you have to iron them, don't you?
I know. But apparently I got it wrong. I copped a big
lecture. I'm in your corner there, I think.
Thank you.
Kate, let's go to Seaton. Paul.
How you going, guys?
Good. Tell us your good argument.
This is back when I was at St. Michael's College and I was studying photography and my girlfriend and I got into a fight about camera shutter speed.
Oh, yeah, that's worthy.
it got to the point where she started crying and I had to leave the room.
Wow.
And, it really went spiraled. It was
Paul,
just, yeah. It was
a, were you
just,
right?
Just tell me about camera shutter speed, Paul. What's the story?
It was a long time ago. I'm 42. And this is back when I was 17, so I don't know anything about cameras at the moment. But I was obviously right. she was crying.
She
took
it badly, yeah.
Mm. Well, I won the fight. And, I walked away. And, oh, man, it was terrible. Yeah, I just had one of those, you feel like a... Ant-Man from the comic books. A little ant running out of the room. Oh,
Paul, can I just
good.
Tell you that some of the great arguers in the world have come out of St. Michael's College? Because that's right one as well.
Let's head to Craigmore. G'day, Laura.
G'day, boys. How
Good morning. How are you going?
Good, Laura. You don't sound like you'd like an argument, Laura.
me and my partner are pretty strong-headed. I'm 35 weeks pregnant, and we've been arguing over names for about 10 to 15 weeks.
All right. Do you want us to help you decide
come
now?
On, we'll
give
help
give
you.
Us your best boy. And, are you having a boy or a girl?
We're having a girl. All
right. What are your names?
Well, I like the name Ellie, and he likes every other name but that. So.
How are we spelling it?
Like the beat, A-I-R-L-I-E.
Ellie. All right, that's a nice name. That's not there.
And he doesn't like it?
No, he says I'm a hippie.
All right. Well, there's another argument again, isn't there?
I know.
You can have two arguments in one there. All right, you thanks,
just,
Laura.
Just do paper, rock, scissors for it. All right, work it out that way. Let's go to Mano Para. G'day, Trev.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, Trev. What have you had a blow over?
Sugar in coffee, mate.
Sure.
All right. Tell us more.
Well, my missus at the time had extensive teeth repair, i.e. fillings and stuff.
Mm.
And no sooner she has all that done, because she was right into the sweets back in the day.
No, she didn't order a coffee with three sugars, did she?
Five sugars.
Oh!
And it just made me cringe because I'm a one sugar coffee man.
Yeah, one's enough,
sure. Five bloody sugars. Oh, it was just driving me insane.
I don't think you can go out with a girl that does it.
Well, it was costing us a fortune in dentistry.
Yeah. You let alone sugar.
Oh, it was just crazy. I mean, she was sweet in other ways as well, but bloody hell.
Right. All right. I did take the point that you said your missus at the time, so clearly you moved her on. Hey, let's send someone off to the show, Roo.
Let's send, what about Laura?
Yeah, Laura.
Will she want to go to the show at 35 weeks, Mel? She's past that. Nah.
Right, Laura, you were going to the show, but you're not now.
Yeah, Trev, you're going. Trev, have a coffee with five sugars at the show.
Right.
All right, good on you, Trev.
Sorry, well, Laura.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, what a September.
Triple M's.
One night in September.
Thanks to Sporty's Bar and Arena, the best place to watch every footy final live this September.
Oh, what a big night of footy, music, entertainment, comedy. We've got the lot, Roo.
Yeah.
And time to announce the first of our very, very special interstate guests.
Boy, what about that? Goodness gracious me. They've gone berserk. Bloody hell. Did you see that?
Oh, boy. Wowee.
BT, Brian Taylor, good morning.
Hey, Dits, Roo. How you going, boys?
The man who loves a bubble bath when he comes to Adelaide. You beauty.
Looking forward to it. Going to check in tomorrow. The first thing I'll do is put it in the bath and away I go again.
Did you overflow last time when you jumped in?
I did. I was not a great chemistry or physics expert, and so I didn't understand that the displacement of water when 130 kilos hops in is rather significant.
Bubble baths for kids.
You're not the first. I think the duck, he had a bit of trouble with the spa bath.
That was his first week he came to the Crows, that one.
Congratulations to you blokes, too. On top of the world over there as far as everyone listening, the ratings going. I hear you're the big guns in town these days. So well done to both of you.
That's why we only have big guests on as well, BT. We don't mess around.
Hey, BT, that we did play... some of your 3UZ interviews from many moons ago. We love that segment on the Saturday Rub. That was gold.
Yeah, well, my wife, she sold a whole tub of old tapes in a clearing sale we had here at the farm, and some guy paid. I said, how much did the guy pay for? She said, $5. And he straight away arrowed straight for the doors of Triple M in South Melbourne. And didn't the boys love them getting their hands on that sort of garbage?
Yeah. Now, BT, I'm a bit excited because this coming weekend, I'm calling footy with you for the first time ever.
Yes.
We've never called a game together. Now, am I allowed to speak? Or, I mean, what are the rules? Do you just totally dominate and I just sort of speak when you look at me? Or how does it work?
Well, don't speak, really. Okay. There's probably no need for you to turn up, actually.
Fair enough.
No, Dix, you are the gun, and you will be the main caller. I have not called Port Adelaide once this year, so I've got no idea who they are.
Hey, don't worry, BT.
They'll be the team winning, BT.
If they win, Dix will take over. If they're losing, you will not hear him slide back into his chair.
So you're telling me that I am calling with a Port Adelaide supporter?
Yeah. Oh, it's a very biased call. Don't worry about that.
No.
That's disgraceful.
This can't be happening. So, and the next thing you're going to tell me, you've got Dwayne Russell, a special comment.
Oh, crazy good.
I got Gavin Wanganeen. He's calling. We've got Warren Treadray. I got Brendan Wade. Yeah, they've got the Burgoyne brothers.
John Cale on the boundary.
John Cale's on the boundary.
Looking forward to it, Dits. It'll be great. Going to do the rubbing in Melbourne on the Saturday and then fly over late Saturday afternoon. Looking forward to that game. Gee, it's been a while since the team has won the premiership after they've lost the last two games of the year. Roo, I know you had a couple of your really good players out in that last game, but gee, momentum's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be a funny thing, but there wasn't a prize on the end of it. I'm not worried about it at all, and I'm not just saying that to BT. I know West Coast actually played quite well in that game. They put a lot of pressure on, and Adelaide had their chances, didn't hit their targets, but it is a funny situation when there's nothing to play for and the other side has everything to play for. So I'm very confident they'll come out and win on Thursday.
Yeah. Look, they should go all the way, Adelaide. I mean, they finished on top, not just because of that, but they are the best team in the competition. So if they play anywhere near what they're capable of playing, I mean, they should win most of the games.
BT, thanks for joining us. We're really looking forward to our one night in September at the Arca Bar, Sporties Bar. So we look forward to you dominating
Arca
on the
Bar,
night. Yeah.
Is that one of Roo's as well? Does
No, not one of mine. One of my business partners. Yeah. But it's a great venue and it's going to be a big night. And that's why we've got you there, BT, because you are the best in the business.
Who else we got coming, Roo?
We can't say yet.
We're revealing them each morning.
We started off with the worst and we're building up.
Can't wait. Triple M rocks football. Let's get into it.
And Saturday night, when we're calling, just go easy half time on the food as well. Leave me something.
No.
It's really uncalled
for.
Man,
I'm just trying to follow you.
I wonder whether I want to go to Adelaide.
We'll see you on the weekend, BT.
See you, boys.
Thanks, mate. Brian Taylor. Mate.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Brunella. They're closer than you think. 104.7 Triple M.